Dear brothers and sisters in Messiah, Yehovah's covenants of promise are from everlasting to everlasting, and He has established appointed times for us to observe them. The Passover is Yehovah's appointed time for commemorating His salvation and deliverance for all those who put their trust in Him. This feast is so important to Yehovah that He instructs His people to celebrate it forever. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you will celebrate it as a feast to Yehovah throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. Exodus 12:13-14. When Gentile believers receive Yeshua as their Messiah, they become partakers of the commonwealth of Israel and are no longer strangers to the covenants of promise, as mentioned in Ephesians 2:1-19. As a result, they too are called by Yehovah to observe His Passover. This is what the Apostle Shaul was referring to in his first letter to believers at Corinth when he said, "For Yeshua, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Let us, as in Gentiles, therefore celebrate the feast, Passover, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." 1 Corinthians 5:7-8. Yeshua Himself kept the Passover every year and declared that He would eat it again in His Father's kingdom upon His return. Luke 22:16. If Yehovah commands His people to celebrate the Passover forever, and Yeshua plans to continue celebrating it when His kingdom comes, then we must conclude that the Feast of Passover is to be observed by everybody that believes today. Clearly, Yehovah has given both Jew and Gentile His Passover to keep as a memorial of how He not only delivered Israel out of Egyptian bondage, but how He has also delivered us from the bondage of our sin and death through Yeshua, our Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. It is very important to remember that there is no set way to observe the Passover, and there is absolutely evidence of what you are going to hear following for the next few minutes as my husband and I stumble and grin and read the following Passover Seder. Only a general guideline, which most people will follow. Therefore, different groups have varying traditions regarding the order and the meaning of the symbols within the Seder. But I can tell you myself, my favorite part of this particular Seder, which came from Ascension Ministries, Norm Franz. This was the very first Passover Seder that I ever partook of, and I was so impressed with the concept of if He had done this, it would have been enough. But no, He did more. And if He had done this, it would have been enough. But no, He did more. And continuing on through so many different steps. And it always reminds me personally how much that He has done for me. He has changed my physical image. He has changed my public image. He has changed my heart image. He has changed my voice image. And if He had just done this, it would have been enough. We have fashioned, as in Norm Franz and the Ascension Ministries, this Haggadah to be a truly prophetic Seder that speaks about our past, our present, and our future in Messiah. As you grow in your understanding regarding the symbols of Passover, let me encourage you to incorporate that understanding into your observance, thereby making it your own personal Passover Seder. I pray that your Pesach celebration is filled with a joy and gladness that brings you into a deeper understanding of Yehovah's Passover. Preparing the Passover Seder. The Feast of Passover is celebrated in the Passover Seder, which is laid out as part ceremony and part dinner in the Passover Haggadah. Seder means order, and Haggadah means to tell the story. And together they provide a script, as it were, for eating and drinking as we would tell the wonderful story of our exodus from Egypt, sin, and the world. The Seder plate is a large platter placed in front of the leader. If there is more than one table, then there should be at least one Seder plate on each table. On each Seder plate, there should be a lamb shank bone roasted and stripped clean of meat, 1/2 cup of grated horseradish, myrrh, or bitter herbs, 1 cup mixture called charosis, parsley or lettuce, and 1 cup of salt water. Other items for the ceremony will include 3 matzahs on a plate wrapped in a white napkin, 2 white candles in a holder at the head of the table, 1 water pitcher and basin with a towel at the head table, 1 decorative goblet for the cup of Elijah on the plate at the head of the table, 1 carafe of wine or grape juice for each table, 1 wine glass for each person, table decorations, little or as much as you want, and 1 Haggadah for each person. A traditional Passover dinner consists of wine or grape juice, tossed lettuce salad with vinaigrette dressing, matzo ball soup, any kind of meat that you desire, potato dish, candied carrots or other vegetables, unleavened sponge cake, or tea and coffee. All food should be free of leaven or yeast and or baking soda or baking powder and pork products.
The Seder Service. Lighting of the candles. While the woman of the house lights the candles, the leader explains what they mean. The woman of the house traditionally lights 2 white candles which represent creation and redemption. They also symbolize the 2 witnesses, Moses and Elijah. Moses represents the law and Elijah represents the prophets, and the law and the prophets testify
that Yeshua
is the Messiah. The light represents God, for God is light. It is also important to remember that through the woman, Eve, the light went out of the world, but through Mary, the light came back into the world.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu lahiyot or lagoyim, v'na ten lanu Yeshua Mashiachinu haor la'olam. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us by thy commandments, and commanded us to be a light for the nations, and gave us Yeshua our Messiah, the light of the world.
We gather tonight to tell the ancient story of the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage by the blood of the Passover lamb. This is the history of all those who have put their trust in the Messiah, who is our Passover lamb, in the fulfillment of this covenant meal. During Yeshua's last Passover, he instituted Passover to serve as an everlasting reminder that he was sacrificed as God's perfect Passover lamb. His sacrifice once and for all provides a new and greater deliverance from the bondage of sin, and his resurrection has freed us to live new lives in the power of his Holy Spirit. This is the time to teach our children and their children about the wonderful works of God. This is the history of all those who have put their trust in the Messiah, who is our Passover lamb, in the fulfillment of this covenant meal, elements of the Passover Seder. Now it is time to explain some of the traditional elements of the Passover Seder.
The first element is the roasted shank bone, which symbolizes the Passover lamb.
Second, we have the three matzahs, which symbolize the unleavened bread our forefathers ate during their exodus from Egypt.
The third element is marer, or bitter herbs. Marer reminds us of the bitter slavery that our ancestors endured in Egypt.
The fourth element is the karpas, which represents the hyssop that was used to put the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorpost. The fifth element is karosis, which symbolizes the mortar used by our ancestors to make bricks during their slavery in Egypt. During the Passover Seder, we will partake of 4 cups of wine. Traditionally, each cup represents one of the promises that God made in Exodus 6:6-7. The cup of sanctification, or the kiddush, represents the promise. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians.
The cup of deliverance represents the promise, I will deliver you from their bondage.
The cup of redemption, also called the cup of blessing, represents the promise, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments.
The cup of restoration, also called the cup of the kingdom, represents the promise, I will take you for my people, and I will be your God.
This is the testimony of all who put their trust in the Messiah. The Kiddush means sanctification, or to set apart. This cup sanctifies tonight's feast as a time to learn of God's redemption in Messiah Yeshua, and reminds us that we are a holy people set apart to glorify God in all the earth.
An appropriate song like Kadosh can be sung here. We know that song by Paul Wilbur. Holy, holy, holy. That's a good song. And we will all stand and raise the cup with the extended right arm.
The extended right hand is a symbol of the Messiah, remembering that the Father refers to him as the Son of my right hand. The cup also represents Yeshua as Messiah. Yeshua's name in Hebrew is Yeshua, which means God's salvation. Psalms 116:13 says, I shall lift up the cup of salvation, which is Yeshua, and call upon the name of the Lord. And as we lift up Yeshua, he said that he would draw all manner of men unto himself. Everything we do during the Passover Seder points to Yeshua HaMashiach. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
This is where we'll all sit down and drink some wine after the Kiddush is recited. Now we go to the Urkatz, or the washing of the hands.
Urkatz means washing, and is a symbolic act of purification. Just as the temple priest would wash their hands and feet before offering sacrifices or entering the Holy of Holies, we who are members of God's royal priesthood also symbolically purify ourselves by the washing of our hands.
Now we will wash our hands by pouring water from pitcher over our hands. Karpas is the parsley. We will all take parsley and dip it in the salt water.
The The carpets represent the hyssop that was used to put the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorpost. The salt water reminds us of the salt and the tears that Israel shed while under Egyptian slavery, as well as the tears of our own slavery to sin in the world before Messiah delivered us. Dipping the carpets in the salt water symbolizes how God delivered our ancestors from Egyptian bondage, brought them safely across the waters of the Red Sea in the baptism of Moses, and made them a newborn nation. In Messiah, it symbolizes our baptism into his death and spiritual rebirth as a holy nation unto God.
Baruch ata Yehovah Eloheinu Melech haolam borei pri ha'adamo.
Blessed art thou, O Lord, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the earth.
We all now partake of the carpus, or the parsley. Yakatz, dividing the middle matzah.
For centuries, there has been much debate about what or who the three matzahs represent. Rabbis say they represent the Kohens, or priests, the Levites, and the Israelites. Others say they represent Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we know that they represent Elyon, the Father, Mighty God,
Ben Elohim,
the Son of God,
and the Ruach HaKodesh,
the Holy Spirit of God. In the
Yakatz,
or breaking, we take the middle matzah and break it into two. We take the largest half and wrap it in a white cloth and hide it. This portion is called the
Apikomen,
or our dessert.
This, the leader will hide while the youngest child covers their eyes.
The Yakatz reminds us that the middle person of the Godhead was broken for us at Passover, and hiding it is a picture of his birth. This is the portion that Yeshua broke during the Last Supper when he said, "This is my body that is broken for you." Matzah is a perfect picture of the body of Messiah. First of all, matzah has no leaven. Leaven is a shadow and a type of sin. And Yeshua knew no sin. Matzah also has stripes on it. This represents the stripes he bore for our healing. Matzah also has dark splotches over its surface from the baking process. This represents the bruises that he suffered for our iniquities. Matzah is also pierced so that it won't curl up when baking. This represents the piercing that Yeshua suffered for our transgressions. The nation of Israel has been doing this for centuries, not understanding that the matzah that is broken, wrapped in a cloth, and buried, is Yeshua, their Messiah.
Magid, we now raise the plate of remaining matzah. This matzah also represents the bread of affliction which our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. Let all who are hungry and those in distress come and celebrate the Passover with us. May the family of Yehovah, wherever we are tonight, remember that Yeshua the Messiah has set us free to walk victorious in Him, and may His ancient Jewish people speedily come to know Him as Messiah and Lord.
The four questions. The youngest child or person reads the four questions.
Why is this night different from other nights?
On all other nights, we may eat leavened or unleavened bread, but on this night, we eat only unleavened bread.
On all other nights, we may eat any type of herbs, but tonight, only bitter herbs.
On all other nights, we do not dip at all, but on this night, we dip twice.
On all other nights, we eat sitting or reclining, but on this night, we recline.
The answers to your questions are as follows.
Tonight we tell the story of God's
everlasting love for his people, and how at the appointed time he came forth and redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. For we were slaves in Egypt
under Pharaoh, but our everlasting God brought us out with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. The matzah reminds us that the dough did not have time to rise because of the haste in which our ancestors left Egypt. Leaven is also a symbol of sin. We are to separate ourselves from sin.
The maror reminds us of the bitterness that our ancestors suffered under Egyptian bondage. In the maror, we also recall our own bondage to sin before the salvation of our Messiah.
We dip twice to symbolize that Messiah has replaced our tears with the joy of our salvation, and that he has delivered us from the bitter taste of sin by becoming sin for us.
Reclining is a symbol of a free man who can eat in leisure. It also symbolizes nobility, where kings and priests ate reclined. Yeshua has made us to be kings and priests that are free in him. So this pillow not only reminds us of our freedom, but is also a rehearsal for the greater fulfillment in the millennial kingdom, where we rule and reign with him over all the earth. The story of the Exodus. Psalms 105. Israel went down to Egypt to avoid a famine. Thus Jacob sojourned in the land of Goshen, where God has caused his people to be very fruitful and made them stronger than their adversary, Egypt. He then turned Pharaoh's heart to hate Israel and to deal craftily with his servants and put them into bondage. Then he set Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen to deliver his people. They performed wondrous acts among them and miracles in the land of Egypt. He plagued them with their own gods and struck down all the firstborn of Egypt. But he delivered Israel through the blood of the Passover lamb.
The plagues. Ye have I judged Egypt by plaguing them with their own gods. These plagues exhibited the total defeat of Egypt's gods by the one, only, true God, Yehovah, the God of Israel. Kept wanting to say king there. We all now take some wine at the end of a spoon or the tip of your finger and sprinkle it on a plate for each plague. Blood.
Frogs. Gnats. Flies. Pestilence.
Boils.
Hail.
Locust,
darkness,
slaying of the firstborn. God could have sent 1,000 plagues on Pharaoh and would not have let Israel go. It was only the blood of the Passover lamb that protected Israel from the slaying of the firstborn that provided our ancestors with their exodus from Egypt.
The three symbols of Passover. Now is the time in which it is our duty to mention the three major symbols of Passover. The Passover lamb, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs.
The first symbol is the roasted shank bone, which symbolizes the Passover lamb. When Yehovah saw the blood of this sacrifice applied to the doorpost, he passed over our people in Egypt and did not destroy their firstborn. In the same manner, when Yochanan the immerser saw Yeshua coming toward him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." In Yehovah's new covenant, it is by the shed blood of Yeshua, the perfect lamb, that Yehovah forgives our sins and the judgment of death passes over us.
Second, we have the three matzahs, which symbolize the unleavened bread that our forefathers ate during their exodus from Egypt. It was unleavened
leavened.
Unleavened because in their hastily departure, the dough had no time to rise. Leaven is also a symbol of sin. This is why Paul tells us to clean out the old leaven of malice and wickedness and replace it with the unleavened bread of serenity and truth.
Sincerity and truth.
Sincerity and truth.
Now we hold up the myrrh. The third symbol is the myrrh or bitter herbs. Myrrh reminds us of the bitter slavery that our ancestors endured in Egypt. Scripture tells us they made their lives bitter with hard labor in mortar and brick and in all kinds of labor in the fields. To Yehovah's New Covenant people, bitter herbs symbolize the bitterness of life when we were lost in sin and out of fellowship with Yehovah. It also reminds us of the bitter cup that our Messiah drank in order to secure our freedom in Him. I love this part. Deyanu, it is enough. Yilo Hotzi, Hotzi Onu, Hotzi Onu, Mehmet Rayim, Hotzi Onu, Mehmet Rayim Dayinu. And the chorus goes, Da Da Yenu, Da Da Yenu, Da Da Yenu, Da Da, Da Yenu, Da Yenu, Da Yenu.
It would have been enough if he had merely delivered us from the Egyptian bondage. But he did far more than this. He destroyed their gods and gave us their possession. Then he divided the Red Sea and brought us through on dry ground.
Day and new.
Day and new.
Or it would have been enough.
This would have been more than enough. But then he cut off Pharaoh's attack by drowning him and his army in the Red Sea, forever separating us from Egypt, sin, and the world.
Day and new.
This would have been more than enough, but then he brought us to Mount Sinai and gave us the Sabbath for our rest. Here he also gave us his law that we might come to know the fullness of his promise.
Day and new.
This would have been more than enough, but then for 40 years he supernaturally provided bread from heaven, living water from the rock, and made our clothes to last throughout the journey.
Day and new.
This would have been more than enough, but then he brought us into the land that he promised to our forefathers, that we might possess it.
Day and new.
This would have been more than enough, but at the appointed time, he brought forth his Messiah, the true bread of heaven, the true living water, the fulfillment of the law, the way, the truth, and the life.
Hallelujah.
He was sacrificed on our behalf and then rose from the dead, conquering death, hell, and the grave,
day and new.
This would have been more than enough, but his death provided a new covenant that had the power to deliver us from the bondage of sin in order that he might seat us in heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua.
Day and new. This would have been more than enough, but after his death and resurrection, he ascended into heaven and sent back us the gift of his Ruach HaKodesh to comfort, guide, and empower us to declare and demonstrate his kingdom to all the earth. Day anew.
Day anew.
This would have been more than enough, but then he promised to return and receive us unto himself as his bride so that we might rule and reign with him throughout eternity. His greatness is far above heaven and earth because he did all of this when he didn't have to, except that he loved us, and for this we will forever praise him.
Day and new. The second cup. Everyone refill the second cup and raise it up.
This is the second cup, the cup of deliverance. Just as Yehovah delivered our ancestors from Egypt, so too he has delivered us from sin and the world through Yeshua, our Messiah. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine,
Now we all sit back and drink our second cup. Time for the Motzi Matzah. We hold up the three matzahs. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech haolam hamatzi lechem min haaretz.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth.
Now we hold up the upper matzah and half the middle matzah, not hidden, into small portions, and we distribute them to everyone. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu el achi las matzot.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us by thy commandments and commanded us concerning the eating of unleavened bread.
And now we eat our matzah together.
Mar.
We now break up the bottom matzah into small pieces and put some bitter herbs or horseradish on it.
The bitter herbs remind us of the bitterness of slavery that our ancestors suffered under the hand of Pharaoh. It also reminds us of the bitterness of sin that we suffered before Messiah took our sin upon himself. And as the eating of bitter herbs brings tears to our eyes, we are to remember the bitterness of our sin that the Messiah endured for us.
Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu el achi las maror.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us by thy commandments and commanded us concerning the eating of bitter herbs. Let's all eat our maror together.
Korech. We now distribute the remaining matzah. Everyone should place some bitter herbs and the karosis between the two pieces of matzah in a sandwich fashion. Now remember, the karosis is the sweet salad that we've made at the beginning.
The karosis is a symbol of the bricks and mortar that our ancestors made in Egypt. But here it represents the sweetness of God's redemption in Messiah. So as we eat the better herbs, combined with the shararsis, we are to recall the bitterness of sin in the horseradish, but that the shararsis, our redemption in Messiah, is the antidote for sin.
Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu el achi las maror.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us by thy commandments and hast commanded us to eat the bitter herbs.
We now all eat our bitter herbs and karosis mixed together.
This concludes the first portion of the Seder.
Dinner is now served. Yes. Those who are following along with this Seder, now's the time to break out the food, but no bread. A lot of times you will see kosher Passover wine. You will see tossed salad with vinaigrette dressing. You will see matzah ball soup. You will see roasted lamb, turkey, or chicken. You'll have a potato dish, a vegetable dish, unleavened Passover sponge cake, and tea or coffee. And in my case, we had decaffeinated coffee. Imagine that.
Afikoman in the third cup. The youngest searches for the afikoman. When they find it, they bargain with the leader for its return. The leader gives the child a gift in exchange for the afikoman.
Afikoman. You know, it could be an African woman, but not today. This is where it is so interesting because the Passover Seder incorporates the children very succinctly. They are required to ask questions. We're required to give them answers as much as we are in Deuteronomy 6 in the Shema. When your children ask you, you are to say. And this is what's going on in the Passover Seder. We now break the afikoman into bite-sized pieces and pass them out.
This is the portion of the meal that represents...
This is the portion of the meal that is Passover. It is here.
It is here that Yeshua took the offikomen and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Then he took the third cup, the cup of redemption, and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is shed in my blood for the remission of sin." All of the Passover Seders throughout the history of Israel were in preparation for that Passover, when God's ultimate Passover lamb would give his life as a ransom for the world.
The cup of redemption is also called the cup of blessing. The Apostle Shaul referred to this cup in his first letter to the Gentile church at Corinth when he said, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Yeshua? Is not the bread or the offikomen which we break a sharing in the body of Yeshua?" Shaul was drawing the distinction between the Passover feast and the pagan feast because many of them were eating at both tables. Shaul forever settles the issue of what feast New Covenant believers, both Jew and Gentile, are supposed to keep when he says, "You cannot drink the cup of blessing and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord," or Yehovah's feast, "and the table of demons," pagan feasts.
This is a solemn time when we search our hearts for any unrepentant sin in our lives and for recommitting ourselves to keeping Yehovah's ways. Therefore, let's spend some time in an attitude of repentance so that we do not eat and drink in an unworthy manner.
Now this is a time of personal reflection done in silence or with background music and song.
Let everyone now partake with joy and gladness, remembering that the mystery of the church is
Yeshua
in you, the hope of glory.
We will all partake of the bread and the wine.
This portion of the Seder, the offikomen in the cup of blessing, also represents the part of an ancient Jewish betrothal dinner, where the man shares bread and wine with his bride-to-be. During this exchange, he pledges to give himself up for her, even to the point of dying for her, and in turn, she pledges to submit herself to him as the high priest and leader of the home.
After the betrothal dinner, the groom returns home with his father and prepares a place for her. He does this by building a room that is usually attached to his father's house, where they will live. He also makes preparations for the wedding feast that they will eat when he returns for her. During this time, the bride makes herself ready to be the woman of God that she needs to be for her husband. Then, at an appointed time known only by the father, he released his son to go get his bride, and they celebrate their eternal union with an extravagant marriage feast.
This is what Paul was referring to when he said, "For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." He meant that as we partake of the body and the blood of Messiah, we proclaim redemption through his death on the cross at Passover, until he comes again to receive us as his bride at the Feast of Tabernacles.
The Hallel, Psalms of Praise, Psalm 113. The Hallel, Psalms of Praise, Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of Yehovah. Praise the name of Yehovah. Blessed be the name of Yehovah from this time forth and forever, from the rising of the sun to its setting. The name of Yehovah is to be praised. Yehovah is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like Yehovah our God? Who is enthroned on high? Who humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises the poor from dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and the princes of his people. He makes the barren woman abide in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise Yehovah.
The cup of Elijah. The place you see with the special cup is called the place of Elijah. The Bible refers to the ministry of Elijah as a voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
The prophetic proclamation is ministered among the nations just prior to the coming of the Lord. And its message is always to repent and return to God's Torah.
And its message is always to repent and return.
Just before the first coming of Messiah, John the Baptizer came in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. This was the first coming of the forerunner spirit of Elijah to make ready a people prepared for Yehovah.
In Malachi 4:5, Yehovah says, Behold, I am going to send to you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of Yehovah. This means that just prior to Messiah's second coming, the forerunner anointing of Elihu will also come as a second time to call Yehovah's people back to his Torah. Yeshua confirms this future coming of Elijah's ministry after the death of John the Baptist when he says, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. Therefore, we recognize the cup of Elijah during the Passover Seder because it prepares the way for the fourth cup, the cup of restoration. At this time, it is customary to open the door and invite the forerunner spirit of Elijah to come in and anoint us in preparation for the return of Yeshua, the Messiah.
Everyone stands and reads the invitation below. We now open the door and invite the spirit and power of Elijah to be poured out upon us so that we might become a people prepared for the Lord.
The fourth cup, the cup of restoration. Now's the time to take your fourth cup in hand. We call this last cup the cup of restoration because it represents the full restoration of Yehovah's kingdom spoken of by the Apostle Kepha when he said, Repent therefore and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yehovah, that he may send Yeshua the Messiah appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. It is very important here to see that our return to Yehovah in repentance is the key to Messiah's return for us.
We also refer to this cup as the cup of the kingdom, because it symbolizes the cup that Yeshua took and gave to his disciples when he said,
Take this cup, share it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of Yehovah comes.
So as we drink from the fourth cup, we drink to the future when Messiah Yeshua returns and fully establishes his kingdom and his righteousness on earth as it is in heaven.
Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
And now we all raise the cup of restoration.
Our Seder is now complete. we have told the story of God's redemption in Messiah.
May we all join together next year to celebrate the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. May the assemblies grow up into the fullness of Messiah. May Zion be blessed and his ancient Jewish people come to know him as their Messiah. And we all say,
Next year in Jerusalem!
And we'll end this as the Havara always ends. Yivareka Yehovah Varish Yereka. Yair Yehovah Panafa Leka Vikuneka. Yisha Yehovah Panafa Leka Viyashem Leka Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his
countenance
on you and give you peace.
Bashem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar Shalom.
In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.
Shalom!